Okay, today's topic is one that's very close to my heart because I'm going to start off with something that actually happened to me just a couple years ago. A couple decades ago, I was working in Manhattan, 125 Broad Street, and we used to work 12-hour days. It was fairly grueling, and when we would work late into the night, we would be able to order food on the client, bill the client, because we're working on their account. And we would order, 125 Broad Street is all the way downtown. At that time, there weren't a lot of decent kosher restaurants down there, so we would order from typically Midtown. So there was a restaurant that we came to order from quite a lot. It was in the 30s. And I don't know if it's still there nowadays, but it was a fairly well-known restaurant. We'd order, and within 30 to 40 minutes, our food was delivered, typically by a non-Jewish worker who works for the restaurant. And he would get it to us, take the subway down, 30, 35 minutes, 40 minutes, food was there. And we were able to enjoy dinner at our desks. Nothing like eating at your desk while working away. One time, that food arrived, same food as always. I used to get steamed chicken and vegetables, healthy. Steamed chicken and vegetables that arrived, same packaging, everything good, but it came unsealed. There was no sign that it was kosher. Typically they use what? Tape that says the VOD of whatever, Rabbinical Council of California, CRC, whatever organization is giving the kashrus there, and they have it sealed, and they have it stamped, and they have it under lock and key. But this night, it did not arrive sealed. Same food, looked the same. The question was, am I allowed to eat it? Now, to add a little bit of a gloss to that, that night, we ordered, as we typically did, around 6 p.m., thinking it would arrive at around 6:40, 7 o'clock, 7:15, 7:30, calling the restaurant. It'll be there soon, I guess. No cell phones back then to call the guy who was bringing it. It came past 8 o'clock, 2 hours. So our question was, my question was, if you guys used to order together, theirs probably came sealed, mine came unsealed. Am I allowed to eat it? Or am I not allowed to eat it because it came unsealed? As we know, when you go on an airplane, order kosher food, how does it come?
Sealed.
Sealed, like more than sealed, right? You have to be like in the CIA to be able to get into one of those things, right? It comes in a wrap and this and that, and lots of layers and seals and stickers and all this stuff that you have to get through. Am I allowed to eat it or not if it comes unsealed? So this is a fairly common question. It does come up whenever you order out. Somebody non-Jewish or even non-observant, we'll talk about, comes and delivers and it comes unsealed. Are you allowed to eat that food? And what are the requirements for seals, in fact? So that's going to be another question that we're going to have to talk about. So we're going to start with the Gemara in Chulin, Sadi Hey Amud Aleph, Amar Rav. This is a mamar of Rav in the Gemara in Chulin. Basar, Kevan, Shnisalem, Mina'ayin, Asar. Meat that was left unsupervised is prohibited. That is our topic today. That's the phrase. We're going to use basar shenis'alem min ha'ayin. Meat that disappeared from the eye, literally, means it went unsupervised. Rav says it is prohibited to eat that meat. What's the concern? The concern is that it may have switched out. Now, the Tosfos says it could have been switched out from a raven that came, for example. A bird comes and switches the meat on us. The vast majority of meat in the world is non-kosher. If that meat wasn't supervised, how do I know that that meat is still kosher? It could have been swapped out. Now, typically what we can relate to more is not a raven or an animal swapping out the meat, but human intervention. Maybe somebody did on purpose, not on purpose, intentionally wanted to trip us up, wanted that meat, got hungry, wanted to swap it, and he'll replace it later. But our concern is, can we ensure the sanctity, the kashrus of that food in the absence of having regular supervision over that meat? I'll tell you a quick related story that shows that things can indeed go amiss. I was working at a company in Los Angeles. I remember the year, probably 2004. We used to have deliveries from Pico Kosher Deli. Pico Kosher Deli, great deli on Pico Boulevard, fantastic. And they are very strict. They're under the Rabbinical Council of California, very strict about sealing properly the food that arrives. Meat, tuna, all need seals. So they would seal it up. And we were sure that when we got these deli trays, they used to come in these big plastic bins, and they'd seal those also. We told the people at reception, call somebody who's observant to make sure that when it's open, it's supervised the entire time. So they used to do that. They used to call up me or somebody else or a few of us out of 150 people, five or six of us that were observant. They used to call one of us, and we'd be there. We'd receive it. We'd open it up. We'd make sure that no problems. One time, we went through that whole process, and there's a big meeting, conference, in the conference room, and I saw that there were non-kosher cookies that were sitting on the table that hadn't been with the order, meaning it came, we could have ordered cookies from Pico Kosher Deli, but somebody, for some reason, I guess they wanted to contribute to the lunch, they put a box of cookies that was non-kosher. So even with proper supervision, things can happen. Certainly if meat is not supervised or other foods are not supervised, we could have a very serious problem of meat going in, meat going out. So that's the reason, is the concern that things may not be covered properly, things may be switched out improperly, and this is very relevant when we're sending food via messenger, when we're ordering from a kosher restaurant and they send it with somebody who is non-Jewish. Can we rely if it comes unsealed? So this does happen. Food comes unsealed. It happens on planes, comes in meetings. It's going to come, and it comes unsealed. What do you do? Now, the Gemara in Chulin continues and says, so Rav has this concept, this isser, this prohibition of having meat if it wasn't under constant supervision. So how did Rav ever eat meat? What did he used to do? So the Gemara asks that, Rav Hechi Achil Bisro, how could he eat if you have to be constantly washing the meat? So what did he do? So the Gemara brings three different answers. What is the solution to consider meat properly supervised and it can be eaten? So answer number one is that Rav would be sure that when from the time the meat was shechted until he ate it, it was under constant supervision. That's number one. Always watching the meat from the process, beginning of the process of shechita till eating, was under his supervision. He would watch it. He wouldn't look away. And if he would have to go to the bathroom, whatever, the Gemara doesn't say this, he'd have to go out and speak with somebody, find somebody else to watch it in between. That's what the Gemara says. It needs to be under supervision. Number two, bitzaira v'chasuma, if it was tied up and sealed, that is another solution, meaning tied up in a bag, in a container, something like that, and has proper seals, which we'll talk about. That is also a solution, because we know if it has the proper seals, that is the meat. It was under effectively lock and key. So that is number two. And number three, the Gemara says if there were simanim in the meat itself, if it was clear that was the meat. So the Gemara gives an example of one of the marayim that would cut the meat in triangles, like in a bizarre way, that the meat, no one would cut the meat like that. That's a siman. In the meat itself, meaning answer number two was the meat is enclosed in something, in a container, in a whatever it may be. Number two is in the meat itself, it's not enclosed in something with the chos and with the semen on the outside, but the meat itself is designated, it's clear that is the meat because of the semen, a mark intrinsic to the meat itself. So this is how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. Asru chachamim kol basar nimtza. Chazal said, any meat you happen to find in the shuk, you find outside, wherever it may be, bein b'shuk ben b'yad of the chacham, if you find it outside, meat is sitting right outside of a kosher butcher shop, you can't eat it. If it's found in the hand of an non-Jew, you can't eat it. Afal pi shekol ha-mochrim v'kol ha-shochtim b'Yisrael, even though in the entire town, every single shochet is from only shechting kosher meat, every single seller is selling kosher meat. It doesn't matter. You can't assume that meat is kosher. And the Shulchan Aruch continues, V'lo od, Ela halokeach basar v'nicho bebeso. What happens if you bought meat and you left it in your house? You left it in your freezer. You brought in a package of meat and you left it sitting on the floor, close the door and you leave. V'nicho bebeso v'nele minayin, and it wasn't being watched, it wasn't being supervised. Says the Shulchan Aruch, Asur, it's prohibited to have that meat. So in other words, if I go to Hawkers, has great hashkacha, sheiris hashkacha, I go, put it in the car, under my supervision, take it home, put it in the freezer. As soon as it's in the freezer, not standing there and watching it, based on the pashtus of this Shulchan Aruch, that meat is basher shenitzal minayin. It doesn't have proper supervision. It should be prohibited. Okay, we're not there yet, but let's keep on going. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch continues. Ela inkin, we have three exceptions to the rule right now. It has the siman in it, number one. Right? I said, that's the meat. It's clear to me that's the meat that has a siman. They cut it in the most bizarre way for the Wassermans when I go to the butcher shop. No one would cut it like that. That's a siman. Even though I didn't see it, I wasn't under my constant supervision. But when I see that meat, eventually that's the Wasserman cut. Kosher. Not a problem. That's number one. Oh, shehaya bo tfias ayin v'humakiro vaday shuzeh. I recognize that piece of meat. That meat is very recognizable to me. It's not that it's typically how I cut it, but I did something to that meat that I just recognize for certain that's the piece of meat that I put away. That's number two. And number three, which is going to be most relevant for our shir, is something that was tsaruv chasum, something that was tied up and sealed. That's typically when we get our delivery from a restaurant. That's what we're relying on it, that they're tying it up and sealing. That is exception number three to the rule. Now, there are Rishonim that disagree with this whole concept. They say you don't have to have constant supervision. We don't paskin like Rav and the Gemara that says if basar shenitzal minayin, if the meat wasn't constantly under supervision, it's usur. We don't paskin that way. Lemaisa, the Beis Yosef says that because the Rif, Rambam agree that we paskin like Rav, that basar shenitzal minayin, meat that was left unsupervised is prohibited. That is indeed how we paskin. Nonetheless, it's interesting in Shulchan Aruch we bought the psak. Unless you have one of the three heterim, unless it has a siman in it, unless it's something that I recognize for certain, unless it is sealed up, then it's prohibited. The Shulchan Aruch comes and says, but because we see that there are rishonim that disagree with this whole concept, yesh matirim basar shenitzal minayin. If it's basar shenitzal minayin, it wasn't under constant supervision, but you found it in the same place you left it. I left it in the freezer. I found it in the freezer. Come on, it's common sense. That's my meat. It would not be a problem. So the Ramah says that is how we paskin. If you left it in the place, it's in the same place, it doesn't look like it's been tampered with, then it would not be a problem. Okay, so most relevant for us, we've talked about so far the concept, basar shenitzal minayin, if it wasn't under supervision, what's the concern? It may be swapped out. We paskin that it is prohibited. There are three exceptions to the rule. So how about these seals? What is required to seal the meat or other items? Jeffrey, quick question.
Yeah, quick question. Are those three things comparable to, like, if you put it in the office refrigerator?
We'll get to it. Good question. How about if you leave it in the office refrigerator overnight? You have to seal it still. How about if you're in a hospital overnight with somebody, taking care of somebody, and you got to put your food, it's over Shabbos, you got to put the food into the communal hospital. How about if you're in a hotel and there's not private fridges in the room, you have a communal fridge, what do you have to do if you leave it unsealed? Are you allowed to have your food the next morning? Excellent question. Okay, we'll get to the Mir Tzashem. Okay, so there are two Gemaras that seem to conflict in discussing how many seals are necessary to ensure that there's proper supervision of the food. I'm not going to talk only about meat, talk about food. The first Gemara is actually talking about wine. So the Gemara, I'm just going to redact the parts that are relevant for us. If you have wine that is in a chutz or in the courtyard of a non-Jew, but the Jew has the key, or the Jew has a seal on it, is that permitted or is not permitted? It's under the supervision of a non-Jew, but we have it under key, or we have it under chosem, under seal. So the Gemara says it's a machlokes. Number one, Rabbi Eliezer says it's mutter. Not a problem having that wine because it's under key. What's the problem? It's under seal. We have a seal. However, Chachamim say it is prohibited. That's not sufficient. Rav, in the Gemara there, says halacha ki Rabbi Eliezer. We paskin like Rabbi Eliezer that to permit the wine, you can have it under key, you can have it under one seal. That's sufficient. One seal, a key. Even though it's under a non-Jew supervision, that gives us the protection that we need. There's another Gemara that conflicts with it. The Gemara of Arizara, Lamed Afalaf, Amar Aleph, says as follows. I'm sorry, it's in Lamed Tes, Amar Aleph, Amar Rav, Chavit, Asur, Bechosim Echad. There are certain foods that are prohibited if they have only one seal. They require two seals. What are those items? Amongst those items, Chavita stands for four items. Ches Bet Yud Tav, it stands for four items. Two of them are the Beis and the Yud, Basar, meat, and Yayin. And wine require how many seals?
Two.
Not one, but two. So the first Gemara says, Rav says we paskin one seal is enough for wine. In the second Gemara, Rav says for wine and meat and certain other items, you need two seals. One is not enough. So I have a stira. We have a conflict in the Shita Rav. Does he require one seal or does he require two seals? So the Rambam and the Rashba paskin as follows. It depends what is being sealed up. If it is the type of item that we would violate an Isser D'oraisa, a biblical prohibition by eating it, it requires two seals, right? It requires two seals. But if it's something that would only violate a rabbinic prohibition, it requires only one seal. An exception to the rule is wine. Wine can fit into either category. We'll see in a little bit. Now, wine, even though it may be only rabbinic to not have that wine, but we are stricter, as we see in many cases, we are stricter with wine that it requires typically two seals. So we paskin as follows in the Shulchan Aruch, Yoradea Simen Kuf Yud Ches, Yayin Ubasar, if you have wine, if you have meat, if you have a cut of a fish, why not a whole fish? Because if you can see what type of fish it is. If it's a full fish, then you can see the simanim on it. So if it's cut of fish, you can't see if it has the kosher simanim. You can't see if it's salmon or if it's catfish. So if you have only a piece of a fish, shehifkid, if you have it, a non-Jew's watching it over for you. You've got your lunch and you got to say, it's meat. Hey, Chris, Jose, thank you. I was going to pick a name that I shouldn't pick. So, Jose, Chris, whatever it may be, can you watch my food for me? I just got to run out and take a call. So that, indeed, could be a problem. So hifki, that was hifki. That is, you have a non-Jew watching it for you. Or shalach b'yarovekachavim, or if you use the messenger of a non-Jew to take that meat, to take that piece of fish, to take that wine for you somewhere. Sarich shnei chosamos, it requires two seals, not only one. However, if you have yayin mevushal, if you have not uncooked wine, but cooked wine, or shechar is alcoholic beverages, chalav, I'm just picking some of the items that are listed here, the chalav is milk, pas, bread, gvina, cheese, all of these are isurei derabanan. If we eat it, it's not a biblical prohibition, but a rabbinic prohibition. V'chol she'isuru midivrei sofim, and anything else that is prohibited rabbinically, that you gave it to a non-Jew, you sent it with a non-Jew, those require one seal, not two seals. Okay, everyone with me? Okay?
Why so, is grape juice called?
Grape juice?
I mean, why?
Or why? Because it could still be isurei derabanan in drinking it. Yeah, because of, no, it wouldn't be Yayin Nesek, but then we worried about the kashrus of the item itself. Good question. Okay, so this is an important qualification to everything. Says Tosfos, when are we concerned that the non-Jew or somebody else is going to swap the meat on us, put in tray for kosher? Only if he's going to have a benefit in doing so. But if he's not going to have a benefit in doing so, we are not concerned that he's lahach, he's on purpose, intentionally going to try to cause us to eat treif. That's not our concern. Our concern is not that they're out to get us. Our concern is that he's going to have a benefit from swapping out. He's going to like my meat better. It's going to look more attractive to him. He's really hungry, for example, and he says, okay, I'm going to take this meat, I'll replace it with something else. Maybe he says this is more expensive meat and I'll put it on eBay and buy something cheaper. Whatever it may be, he needs to have a benefit in doing the swap. But if he doesn't have a benefit in doing the swap, we are okay. At least b'dieved, we're okay. Yeah. Such a good question. Let's go through a little bit further. Your question is going to be better than any answer that I give, but we'll try to hash it out a little bit. Okay, so the Shulchan Aruch paskins as follows. Imeino nene b'chalifin. If the non-Jew will not have a benefit from the swapping out the meat, taking my kosher, putting in his treif, mutar b'cholinan. It is mutar. We are not concerned. Shema hichlif lachshilo. We're not concerned that he's going to intentionally want to cause me to eat treif meat. Kevan she'ein lo hana'a bedavar, because he doesn't have a hana'a. That's how we pass in the Shulchan Aruch. That has how we paskin in the Ramah. So let me just recap real quickly. We're talking about barshan isalim minayin, meat that was unsupervised. We're concerned it to be swapped out. Even if it doesn't have Jewish frum supervision, we have three exceptions to the rule. That's for sure my meat. I know it. It has a special cut with my name on it, or it is sealed, signed and sealed and with special seals on it. However, even if it was not properly sealed, it didn't have something that I can recognize, and I'm not certain in me. It was sent to me. I never even saw that. But if we can verify that there's no benefit to the messenger, the non-Jewish messenger, in bringing that meat to me, I would be okay. So let's delve into what does this mean, benefit or not benefit. So the Shuvas Beis Shlomo says, "Afilu b'hana'a mu'etes." Even if we can conjure up that he would have a small benefit, which is actually, we could probably always figure a benefit from somebody. He was hungry and whatever it was. But nonetheless, afilu hana mu'etis usur. If we can think of a small benefit that this guy has, is swapping out, putting in treif instead of kosher, it is prohibited for us to have it. And we don't divide up between a big hana, wow, it's clear he would have hana, or a small hana. As long as there's a hana, a benefit that he would have, we're trying to answer your question. We won't do such a good job, but we'll try to. Then it would be prohibited. Now, just to go to the next step, the Chalkas Binyamin brings in the name of the Chacham Tzvi, Dimshala Hamakal Lemakom Rachok. If you're sending the food, the delivery to a far location, there is more in favor of our believing that there is a benefit for the messenger. Why is that? Very easy for him to get hungry along the way. So if it's just a 10-minute drive, delivery is typically 15 minutes as opposed to 2 hours. I was once in London. Anyone here from London? London. Okay, so this was in 1995. The first deal I was working on, second week of work, I get sent to this place called London. Never been there before. Didn't know about the kashrus and all the stuff that they have in London. I'm from the United States. I know the United States. If something has an OU on it, it's kosher. You order something from a restaurant, it comes sealed. You walk around in London, nothing is kosher in London. Nothing back then. This is in 1996. Why? You go into 7-Eleven. They had 7-Eleven. I recognize that Cheerios, kosher, right? Cheerios are kosher. Cereals are typically, you have to look for you know what's kosher. Nothing had an OU on it. Why not? Back then, nothing in England had a symbol on it. You had to have the book. I don't know if they still have the book or everything has the symbol on it now.
A lot of things have symbols.
A lot of symbols, but you still have the book. They have a book that you have to get. This was before the internet even, so you didn't have access to online listings. You had to look in a book to see what was kosher, not kosher. So I was starving. So finally we locate a kosher restaurant in Golders Green and order it, and it comes, and it is, I ordered corned beef and some good stuff, and it comes wrapped in a napkin. Okay, and it took 2 hours to get there. 2 hours to get there. I was in Chicago working downtown. Chicago has great meat. Anyone from Chicago? No one from Chicago. Chicago is like a mecca of meat. It's like Ken's Diner and great stuff. Ordered 2 hours to get to the place that I was sitting at. 2 hours. Now, thankfully, it was sealed, but a steak doesn't taste so good after 2 hours of delivery. So the Chacham Tzvi here says that if you send the meat, that from a distance, we are more inclined to say that the non-Jew could have eaten from it. But then he says, really it depends on the facts and circumstances. If you're delivering it, and along the way, it's taking a while, but along the way, there are plenty of places that the non-Jew could have stopped and gotten food. And I would say also add similar food. Then we have less of a reason to believe that he's going to benefit. However, if there are not a lot of places along the way, and he's driving and driving, and it's taking 2-3 hours, we have more of a reason to believe that maybe he could have eaten it. So get back to my original question that we started with. Working in downtown, 125 Broad Street, usually takes 30, 35, 40 minutes to get my steamed chicken and broccoli, steamed chicken and vegetables. It comes and it's unsealed, and it took him 2 hours to get there. What happened? I don't know, must be. It could, you know, it's New York, so there are shikurim, drunk people that get on and pull the emergency stop, and you could sit there for an hour on the subway. That's possible. It could be that the restaurant sat on the order, they lost the order for an hour, or hour and a quarter, and then decided to send it. Maybe they're really busy. Right? We could find many reasons, but if it typically takes 30, 35 minutes, and it took 2 hours, we may have a problem. No, I may have a problem. I may have a problem eating this food. Okay, so Rav Moshe Heineman of the Star K was asked in an interview all about Basher Nisala Minayim. So I'm going to quote from him on a few questions that are relevant to us. So it says, question, could you list some of the circumstances that would arouse suspicion, that we'd be concerned that the non-Jew actually partook of our meat, of our meal, not only meat. It could be dairy. Dairy would have to have a single seal. Meat, double seal. Fish, double seal, because that would be a doraisa. Tuna fish sandwich, double seal. The kosher meat, so when are certain circumstances that would arouse suspicion? So he brings three. The kosher meat, number one, the kosher meat is of superior quality, and the non-Jew would enjoy it more. That could easily be. Oh, I've heard about Pico Kosher Deli. I've heard about this. I always wanted to taste it. Number two, it is more convenient for the non-Jew to use the exposed kosher meat on the table at that moment and replace it later with a non-kosher food. More convenient for him. Number three, there is an outside benefit for the non-Jew to substitute the kosher meat. We can think of a number of reasons which would arouse our concern that he may be swapping out our food. There's a story that's told, a very famous story, about the yeshiva boy who was traveling from Los Angeles to New York. He gets on the plane, famous, he's nodding. So he gets on, he's starving, he's famished, he gets on, he's sitting next to a Christian who was talking his ear off and talking about this Judaism, Jada, who just wanted to learn from the yeshiva. Yeshiva is starving, hadn't slept in 3 days. He's looking forward to his meal. He's trying to avoid conversation, but without offending the person. His meal comes, Chasdei Hashem, corned beef. So excited, he peels it apart, all the stickers, and the guy who's sitting next to him says, oh, that looks pretty good. He gets his own. They look pretty similar, the sandwiches. Oh, that looks pretty good, that sandwich. So, but he remembers, oh, I got to go wash. So he goes and washes, leaves the sandwich uncovered. He comes back, washes, Hamotzi Lechem Min Haaretz. Oh, problem, I'm not allowed to have the meat. So he just takes of the hamotzi. He forgot, I guess, that you need a single steel on the bread also. But okay, we'll worry about the meat. So the meat, he has it, and the guy's looking at him. He's eating all around the meat. So the guy sitting next to him, Jose says to him, is there something wrong with your sandwich? So Yitzchak here says, well, he doesn't know what to say, but then he says, you know, there's actually a law, a Jewish law, that you're not allowed to eat from meat unless it was under constant supervision. I forgot. I went back, and the concern is that someone may have swapped it, not that you would do such a thing. So Jose was shocked sitting there. He said, you're not going to believe it. I always wanted to taste kosher pastrami, corned beef, whatever it is. So I took one of your pieces out, and I saw that your sandwich was a little bit scrawny afterwards, so I shoved a piece of my meat in it. Oh, what unbelievable. You know, I don't think it's a true story, but it's a great story nonetheless. That we see here that when we have a benefit, yeah, we have a question.
Why do you need a seal on the bread?
Because it could be a durabanan. Anything that's a duraisa needs two. Anything that has one seal, could, I don't know if it's 100% kosher. Anything that could be an issur durabanan, anything that could be an issur durabanan would be a problem. Anything? Let me see if I can find it real quickly. Pas, Mefurish in the Shulchan Aruch, Pas requires Pas's bread requires a single seal. Okay, so this is an example of a question that was asked. This was asked recently to the Shuvas Binyan Shalom, somebody who was sending, what's the most common thing to send via messenger?
Pizza,
thank you. You know, I think it's maybe more of an Israel thing, because in the States, I never used to send stuff. You go pick it up. They didn't used to have messengers. I don't know, New York, they have messengers, other places, messengers for pizza places.
No, here, no, they, no.
Yeah?
Delivery.
Pizza, kosher.
Oh.
Kosher, I don't know, kosher places that, you know, lots of Shakey's, certainly, you get it on your, the motorcycle comes with
it. Toronto's got common.
What does?
It's common in Toronto.
The kosher places have
kosher
Oh, okay. So there we go. The most common, and your pie comes, and Jose, this guy keeps showing up. Jose, He's delivering all over the place, and he's trying to mess us up no matter what. And he shows up, and the pie is not sealed. Pie is not sealed. Just in a box, open up, and it doesn't even say on it, Yoni's Pizza. Just says pizza on it. So this Jew was asked to the Binyan Shalom, and he says, listen, if you're delivering pizza, it requires a single seal. It requires a single seal. Could it be an Isser D'Rabban and eating that? And you shouldn't send it with a non-Jew unless it has that seal. However, how about B'di'evit? My pizza came and it is not sealed, and I am starving. Can I have that pizza? Can I have it? That's the question. So he says, U'B'di'evit, Ein sorech lachush yuchlefu. B'di'evit, after the fact, it arrives, you can eat it nonetheless. Not ideal, should it be sent with a seal, but b'di'evit, you can have it. And he brings four rationales why. Some of them are going to be things that we've heard. Some of them are going to be new for us. Number one, we don't have to be concerned that he is going to swap out the pizza. What's his benefit in swapping out? This is somebody who is working at the restaurant, who could eat at the restaurant, or even if they charge him, they would certainly charge him to eat at a lower rate. So what's going to be his benefit of taking your pizza and swapping it with something? He can just get pizza on the job, number one. So we don't see a real benefit in that situation. Number two, he's going to be concerned that he's going to get fired if they find out that he swapped out the pizza. That is a real concern. You find out that Jose swapped out the pizza, they're going to say, oh, he did it again. He did it to Wasserman in Manhattan. They threw him out of Manhattan. He's up in Toronto now. He's delivering pizza, and he's doing it again. We got to get rid of the guy. Send him to Los Angeles. So that's number two. He's going to get fired. He's going to be concerned. I'm going to get fired. I'm not going to do this again. Number three, the Binyan Shalom says the mitzias today is that typically when deliveries are made, it's a short hop. They're not long deliveries. So if it's a short hop delivery, there's really not a big benefit for him. There's no benefit for him. He's just delivering it and getting it back. Because if it's a short trip, all the more reason he's not going to swap it out. And number four, he says, "Bevadai lo yachlifu betreifa shikna b'chanus acheres." He's certainly not going to take the kosher stuff and go and find a treif store when he can just simply swap it out at the pizza store he works for free. So why is he going to go buy treif stuff when he works at Yoni's Pizza and he can get it for free? So there's no benefit for him doing that. So that would be an application of what we're talking about. Yeah?
What's a short trip for a delivery person? If I'm holding food, I can smell it, even on a 40-minute subway ride, I'm going to get hungry.
Yeah, I think he's saying in a short trip, yes. But we're trying to build facts in our favor to permit it. So this is one, you know, if you had one of these but not the other three, it wouldn't work in the favor, right? He's trying to build a case why it would be. So on this one, when he says it's a short trip, then he says he has no real need because if he's real hungry, he's just going and he can get right back in 5 minutes, 10 minutes and get his own pizza. As opposed to, oh, I'm getting on the subway again and delivering down to 125 Broad Street and it's 40 minutes there and 40 minutes back and I'm not having eaten all day because they've been working me so hard. So a short trip, okay, he can hang out, he can hold himself and then, yeah.
What do you mean he can swap it out at the restaurant he works at?
If he's going to really be hungry and take the pizza, like he'll just take pizza for free from the restaurant that he works at. He's not going to go to Shakey's three blocks away and swap it out. Okay, so another application of all of this, we talked about the public fridge. The public fridge that we mentioned before, it could be in a hotel that you're staying at, they don't have it in the room. If you're traveling, it could be at work and you have to leave. I had this question oftentimes when you order the night before and you didn't finish your food, so you leave it over for breakfast, lunch the next morning, whatever, not breakfast, that's chicken for breakfast, okay, it can work, but you leave it over for your lunch the next morning. Can I leave it in the fridge, or do I have to be concerned that somebody swapped it out? So lechatchila, you have to have two simanim, or one, depending on what it is. If it's flesh, if it's fish, you have to have two seals. If it's dairy, at least one seal and put it into the fridge. But if you didn't, nonetheless, we could say that what's the benefit of people swapping it out? Maybe there is a benefit, maybe there's not. I once saw one very powerful svara rationale to say why it's okay. If somebody is going to come into the fridge at work or in the hospital and take your food, what are they going to do?
Yeah.
They're not going to replace it. They're not going to replace it. They're going to steal it. They're not going to bother replacing it. They're going to, as quickly as possible, take your food and be out of there. They're not going to replace it. So we don't have to worry. Somebody, if it's stolen, it's stolen. You can't eat it. But we don't have to be concerned that. So obviously we should seal it. But if it wasn't sealed, unless we can see that there would be a benefit in somebody replacing it, b'di'evit would be okay. Yeah. So we're going to have to see. We're going to have to see what's required for the semen and the sealing. So we're going to, yeah. So we'll get to that in right now, actually. Okay. So here he goes. This is a fairly complicated question. Now that we've said we need seals, if it's a d'oraisa, we need a double seal. If it's a d'rabbanan, we need a single seal. So what entails a seal? There's a lot of discussion starting all the way from the Gemara how they used to seal wine and what the double seal was and a single seal. We're not going to go through the whole sugya. We have limited time, but I'm going to touch on the most relevant issues when it comes to delivery of food to a workplace or somebody's home, whatever it may be arriving at. So for, as an example, if the food is put into a kli, into a container is sealed. So what are our ways to seal that container? So one way is that we can put a piece of tape on it. Does that piece of tape work as a seal or does not work as a seal? Doesn't sound good, right? How about if I write on that? So one example of things that are brought is if you write across a container somehow, there's a seal, there's a top, there's a bottom, and you write, like in Hebrew, over the seal, that if somebody opens it up, he's not going to be able to reclose it correctly. You'll be able to see that it was open. That would be a kosher seal. So that would be an example of one seal. Another example brought by the Kaf HaChaimim, Kastava Osios Al Niyar. If you wrote things on a piece of paper, you wrote kosher Bashkachas Harav Efrati, right? And you wrote it in Hebrew, and you taped that piece of paper well around the container. That would be how many seals? One. That'd be one seal. One seal, the writing, sealed, encasing, that would be considered one seal. Now, the poskim do say, based on the Shulchan Aruch says as follows, v'yesh omrim shebamakam shemetsuyim eshumadim v'ovdei kochavim sheyodim lichtov. If you have people, non-Jews, this is at the time of the Shulchan Aruch 500 years ago, where you have Jews who are way off the derech that want to cause problems, so they know how to write Hebrew. We can't simply rely that it has Hebrew writing on it, that is a kosher seal. Because anyone, nowadays especially, you look up, I want to write some Hebrew, you look on the internet, look up, how do you say kosher in Hebrew, and you just copy the Chav Shin Reish, and that's going to be a seal. So that wouldn't work. Simply writing would not be sufficient. The Rama says, Im sholeach eze dover besak v'chasam asak, if it's something is in a sack, in a plastic bag, and you sealed it well. We're gonna have to see what that means, a seal. Einu afilu kachosim echad. Even if you seal it properly, that is considered one seal, not multiple seals. Elaim Kane, he says, unless you turn it inside out. If you have it in a certain type of seal that it is impenetrable, unless you have to destroy it, that could act as two seals in of itself. Hopefully we'll get back to that in a little bit. Okay, let's continue. How about by tying knots? I've gotten some deliveries and they simply tie a double knot in the bag. Is that considered a seal or not? Why not? Anyone can do that. Even if you get a non-kosher delivery, may come with the double tie. So the Taz says, Gabi Kashira. When it comes to tying a bag, for example, Kosha Eino Dover Meshuna, if it's not an unusual tie, Lo havi siman klal. That's not a siman at all, that they happen to tie it together. The kesher she'osim ba'alma, that is a knot that they happen to do throughout the world, vaday and torah klal atir, it's going to be very simple to get through it. So a simple tie, double knotting would not be sufficient. So to get back to Rabbi Heineman of the Star K, he gives us some very important information. He says, any seal which makes it difficult to open the closed package without tearing or breaking the closure, tape, or packaging qualifies as a siman. If it takes work to get through it, you got to tear through the tape, it's going to reel a vote to get through it, that would be a single siman. How would a deli meat or a tuna fish sandwich sent by a caterer or takeout be wrapped if they require two simanim? This is our question. So how do I got to get it? How do I got to wrap it if I'm in the restaurant? How do I got to receive it if I want to eat it. So Rav Heineman says wrapping the sandwich in a plastic wrap. Everyone seeing plastic wrap around? Is that a wrap? Is that a seal?
Yeah.
Just wrapped in plastic.
No.
Surrounded.
It's
but
it's not on its own, but if you have the second one that's intentional, then everyone does too.
If you...
The only places that do that, they're sticker over the...
So if you have the plastic and sealed, that says, the Rabbinical Council of California says the Eda Haredis with the sticker on it, that would be a seal. So he says, wrapping the sandwich in a plastic wrap, sealing it on the bottom with the heat seal or label, and labeling the top of the plastic only qualifies for one seal. So if you've got the saran wrap and the seal on it, closing it, that's one seal. I need more than that if it's a d'oraisa. An example of a second seal would be an additional band wrapped around the sandwich. Some sort of band? I don't know exactly. What are you saying? Maybe a tight type of...
I don't know if with writing.
Yeah, that for sure would work. So if it has this kosher tape around it, then for sure that would work. And then he continues, another method would be to place the bill into the paper bag holding the sandwich. So in other words, I got my first seal is the saran wrap. I got my sticker on it. I dumped that into a bag. In the bag, I staple it closed. The thing is to place the bill into paper bag holding the sandwich and staple the bag and bill shut. He says that's enough as a second seal, right? I'm stapling it, but I have inside it, I've got the receipt that says Jerusalem 2 Pizza, Kosher Delight, Judy's Restaurant, whatever it may be. I've got that inside there. That would be sufficient second seal. Yeah.
Unless the staples are going through the receipt itself, anyone could do that.
I agree. This is Rabbi Heineman. We're not going to disagree with him. But some places do that. They will staple the receipt with the staples. Still, that would act as one, not two. Yeah.
What if you just had like a backup packet, and then you put like the kosher writing sign on top of the packet?
How is the packet sealed?
So it would be sealed with the sticky tape with the writing.
So
it's like that. Like,
so a packet like
it's
has...
actually plastic wrapped, the food inside a bag.
Okay, and inside, how is it sealed?
So then inside, it's also got a packet.
That's a double, with tape on it or some seal or something?
Yeah.
Fine. The postgame say a seal on the inside and a seal on the outside, separate bags or wraps, is totally acceptable. Now, if you have something, Rav Heineman says an example of a foolproof simon would be the new frozen chicken products, which are encased in a totally fused, specially printed chill pack bag that has to be ripped open to take out the products. He says, if you have something that's foolproof, then that would act as a double simon. That would act as that would be enough. So we have different... here, one more question. From Rabbi Heineman, would plain unmarked sealing tape qualify for an acceptable seal? They put some tape around it. No, because there is no distinctive marking on the tape. In order for plain sealing tape to suffice, the Mashkiach would have to sign his name across the tape and onto the box. If the box would be open, the signature would tear. I have an interesting question. How about if they put like the whole roll of tape around? Is that a proper seal or not? I don't know. I didn't see the postman talk about it. I think if it's one of two seals, that should be enough because no non-kosher restaurant is going to do that. But I don't know. I haven't seen the poskim talk about it. Okay, so let's go on. Where are we right now? We're talking about Bashani Sil Salaminai. Rav says if it doesn't have proper supervision, it's a problem. We're concerned that it's going to be swapped for non-kosher meat. We brought the three heterim. We also said a massive qualification. We could view it as another heter is if there's a benefit to the non-Jew in swapping, then I have to be concerned. But if there's no benefit, then I don't have to be concerned that this meat was swapped out. There's another heter. And this one, truthfully, is going to be less applicable. The Shulchan Aruch says, Im shalach al yedei ovid kochavim, if you sent it via a non-Jew, b'lo chosam, and it's not sealed. I have a problem. He says, how did he travel? Where did he travel? If he traveled through a public area, he calls it makom ma'avar l'rabim. He went up, he had to go from on Broadway in Manhattan, and he had to go from 46th Street down to 32nd Street, all on Broadway. Didn't take too long. That's a ma'avar l'rabim. That's a public area that anyone could see him playing games. Mutter. Because he's going to be concerned, Shema Yirenu, somebody's going to see him and they're going to say, oh, he's playing games with this food. Because of that fear factor, it will be okay. It's not lechatchila, but the evidence, if the food arrived and he traveled through what would be a mavar, l'rabim, a public area, then it would be okay. Now, the poskim do not discuss much how public it has to be. The Chelkas Binyamin says, what would public be that it would be enough? Is it three people? He says, maybe it's three people. It's enough? That's public? Maybe. He says, but he says, Tzorech Iyun at the end of the day. Dorach HaShulchan says, if it is going through a Jewish neighborhood, meaning it's a Jewish butcher and he's delivering within a Jewish neighborhood, he's of the view that even the Chatchila, it would be okay to be unsealed because Jose is going to be concerned. People are going to see me playing games. I'm not going to play games because people may see me and I may get in trouble. The Chalkos Binyamin continues, and this is a very important point. What we are talking about now is using that delivery boy. We order, he's delivering from a kosher restaurant to you. That doesn't mean that you can tell somebody who's not Jewish who works for you, hey, go to the kosher restaurant, pick up food for me, and as long as he's going through a public area, it doesn't have to be sealed. There's a lot less control, because who knows if he's going to go to the kosher restaurant or he's going to go to the non-kosher restaurant. We have no clue. So when we call the kosher restaurant, we order from the kosher restaurant, and it's delivered to us, and it came unsealed, and he went through a public area, b'dieved, we can be lenient on it, but we're not when we're sending somebody to go pick it up. Somebody, when I was in Los Angeles this past summer, said the following story. He was at his father and his uncle were at a kiddush in a certain shul in the United States of America, in a small town, and catered kiddush, done at the shul, and one said to the other, these meatballs are so good, it's too good to be kosher. Kosher meatballs are also good, but that was the comment. Like, it's too good to be kosher. A few weeks later, the non-Jewish person, the janitor in the shul, looked into the garbage, and he, the non-Jewish janitor, found packaging of non-kosher meat. The person who was responsible for buying the stuff for the kiddush was a non-observant Jew, and he was going out and he had a budget. And I guess if he came in under budget, he would pocket the money. Instead of going and buying kosher meat, he was going to Costco and buying the meat at Costco. And then the non-Jew found the packaging. That is an example of a time when you can't send someone because you don't know where he's going to wind up buying. The heter is only if we are having it delivered to us from a kosher establishment. Okay, does this all apply also to somebody who is non-observant? That's our segue into this question. How about somebody who's non-observant? He's the delivery guy. So Ronnie says, of course. Why?
He doesn't care.
Somebody that doesn't keep kashrus, so he's not in the parsha, right? He's not in the parsha of keeping kashrus. So, yeah.
You could also say the other side, which is that, like, he's a bit more sensitive to it, and even though he's not observant, like, he still knows, oh, okay, guys, keep kosher. Like, I know not to, mess around with stuff.
Such a beautiful answer. Unfortunately, it may not.
On the other side, what about a religious Noahide? Can we trust them?
Can we trust them?
They fear God, presumably.
Yeah, but they don't have to keep kosher. So people who are in the parsha,
but we can tell them the rules.
Yeah, but people who are in the parsha of keeping kosher, we could be lenient. People who aren't in the parsha of keeping kosher or don't keep kosher. Eliyahu?
In Brachos, it talks about if someone's allowed to go with a woman, whether it's a kosher Jew or non-kosher Jew. So why wouldn't it matter with this?
So it should matter. In other words, okay. So the poskim say. The Rashba says as follows: B'mafkid etzel Yisrael achashud. If you have given your kosher food to a Jew who is Chashud, we're suspicious of him. Meaning we have concerns. He's not keeping kashrus, for example. Choshishin lechalife yisr. We're concerned that he may swap things in and out. So if a Jew who we have concerns about, that he may swap on us, we have the same halachas that we cannot trust him either. In fact, there are poskim, and this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, that it could be that sending with a non-Jew, we can be lenient, even sending meat. D'oraisa stuff, you only need one seal, but to send with a Jew who is chashud, he knows, and he may play games on us because he doesn't care or he wants to get us, we may require more seals with him than a non-Jew. So there is that brought down in the Lacha also. That's not Mikra, that's not how we, the Iker Pasak that we brought, but that is brought down. So when it comes to a Jew who is Chashud, the Shulchan Aruch says, Lokeach Basar V'Shalcha B'Yad Echad Me'Am Eretz. If you send it by somebody, he's an Am Eretz. He's not a knowledgeable Jew. That's not a problem. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who is Chashud Lechol Dvarim Shein Derech HaRabim Lakav, somebody who has very low standards. People typically try to keep kashrus, and he's even lower than trying. That's what we're talking about, somebody who's not even the parsha. The Bach says as follows, near to Paris, Yisrael Chashu, what is this person, a Jew, who is Chashu, we're concerned that he's going to play games with us. It's talking about somebody who is Chashud Argezel. He's somebody who may steal. He may steal our food, so we can't trust him. Or he is Chashud, we're concerned that he may swap out the food for us. Okay, just to try to pull a number of things together here. The Tshuvas van Hagos was asked as follows. Somebody who sent a package that had 3 kilo of meat with a non-Jewish delivery person on a rakevet, on the subway. So he's delivering it on the subway, and it did not have proper seals. Can we be lenient? Okay, so if we were going to go through the analysis, we'd say it's meat. Meat's a problem. Meat requires how many seals?
Two.
If it didn't have proper seals, then we have to go through an analysis of the heterim. Number one, is it sealed? We said it's not sealed. Number two, does it have the special simani? Was it cut in triangles or something? No. Is it meat that I recognize for sure that's that piece of meat? No, it's going to somebody who hadn't seen the meat. So we don't have those three. Number four, is there a benefit to the non-Jew in swapping it out? Number four, this happened to be raw meat. Good question. Here maybe we have less of a benefit, but it's 3 kilo of meat. I think it was a kilo, shlosha kilo basar. So 3 kilo of meat is being delivered. Okay, so next, number five is going on a ma'avar l'rabim, a public area. Now, poskim say that what that means, a public area, doesn't mean that he's driving in his car, because that's no longer public. It doesn't mean that he's going in a truck. It doesn't mean he's going in the subway, because there are plenty of ways that you can play games when you're sitting in a subway car and no one's looking. It means you're really the entire time in traveling in a ma'avar l'rabim, in a public area. So Rav Sternbach goes through an analysis, and he says, in the end of the day, with this fact scenario, and every fact scenario is going to be different, sof davar bidyeved, we could be lenient. And he brings a number of rationales. Number one, he didn't think there was a real reason for the person to have hana from it, to swap out in that scenario. Number two, he'd be concerned about getting fired. He'd swap it out, fired. And number three, ubefratcha medubar bechavila katana. Here it's talking about only 3 kilo. There's not a real benefit when it comes to such a small order. Apparently it was raw. Let's hope it was raw, because if it was cooked, he may be hungry. If it's uncooked, he's not going to be eating it. So in the end of the day, Rav Sternbach was lenient in that scenario. Let's get back to my scenario. My scenario, I'm sitting there, 2 hours to get the food, two and a quarter hours to finally arrive. I will tell you, I was starving. Starving. Waiting all day, lunch was at 12, now it's 8 something at night, working hard. Can I eat this meat? So let's go through this analysis. 2 seals or 1 seal? It's chicken. Not you know, but it wasn't shechted. Okay, 2 seals. Deoraisa. Comes without. What am I hetering? Number one, came without seals would be a heter. Came without seals, I can't rely on the seals. Do I have simanim in it? No. Is it something that I recognize for certain? I never saw this. It looks like the same as every other night, but I believe TVSI means I've seen that meat, and that for sure is the same meat. Don't have that one. Does he have hana? Yeah. If it arrived in 30, 40 minutes, I can say there's real no. He got here quickly. It's the normal time. He wasn't more hungry than I can see that. I can see that. But 2 hours, something doesn't smell right here. And last, ma'avar l'rabim, going in a public area, he was on the subway. That we would not consider a public area because there's more prone to, it's more private. He can do what he wants there. So l'maisa, having that food, I think, I didn't ask, I happened to have called the posik at the time when I was sitting there and said, can I eat it? And he was matir. And his rationale was, that it came with the receipt, and the receipt said the name of it. But now that we've gone through the sugya, should that matter or should that not matter?
No.
I didn't call it, I called a rav. I didn't call it posik, I called it a rav. So that maybe, you know, poskim say, like, if you could, it has on the receipt, and the receipt says, for example, the weight, and I weigh it, and it matches, that helps us. But simply having the name of the restaurant, that doesn't mean that he didn't take my food and swap it out. I know where I ordered from. It should have the receipt. It just, that doesn't prove to me that he didn't swap it out. So Lemaisa, he was matirid, but I am not so comfortable. If I had the shaila today, I'm not so comfortable just because of the 2 hours. What is the solution, I believe, is if you call the restaurant and say, when did he head out? If he really headed out two and a quarter hours earlier, that's a problem. But if he headed out 40 minutes before, but they lost the order, they were delayed, whatever it is, I believe that there would be a tzad to be lenient on that. Ryan?
Why do we look at Hanna from the non-Jew just being that he just wants to screw a Jew over?
Why aren't we concerned about that?
Yeah, like, I can imagine a lot of people that would want to just make you break your religion.
I think that it's not common. I don't think it's common that people are out to get us. That especially if you're working at a Jewish restaurant, I don't think that you don't bite the hand that feeds you. So I think that the halacha reflects that we're concerned. We're not concerned they're out to get us. We don't have to walk around with these fears of fears that somebody's out to get us, phobias of people out to get us.
But many times Jews have been forced to do things that they like. You know,
I think that's when there's a government and a decree against the Jews. But I don't think we have non-Jews coming in. And, you know, this is very relevant if we have food in our houses and we walk out and there's the cleaning, a non-Jewish cleaning help there. Do we have to worry that she's flopping out the food? Right, so you know what? Unless she has a benefit, and she doesn't have a benefit, she'd get fired if we found out. Thankfully, nowadays we have video cameras to watch everything. Also, we're lenient on this stuff.
No assumption people admit.
No, there's not. The assumption is they're not out to get us. It has to be that they have a benefit. Yeah.
So these two, it normally comes in two seals, right?
If it's a deraisa, it has to come with two seals. Yeah.
So normally it would come with two seals. So that's a huge kashat because now that it comes without a seal, obviously because
normally it does, and now it doesn't. You know, so it's a very good point. Oftentimes I've seen it's human error; they just forgot.
Yeah.
You know, so they forgot. So the question is, sometimes the post can talk about how about if it came.
But like there's a mashkiach. The
Mashkiach isn't watching that they double seal things. That the Mashkiach is if he's a Nichnas Viyotze, he's around, but he's not unfortunately to that level because he's got bigger concerns than something being sealed. But if always it's sealed and one time it arrived and it's unsealed, two hours late. Doesn't smell right. Yeah.
I like the Mechazik Rane's question. There's a chashash on a lot of stam meat that it's Eber Menachoy. Since a chassid on the zayim is concerned for Eber Menachai and may be noyik to buy kosher meat, could we maybe pull him back in and say we trust him to get kosher meat because he gets kosher meat?
Yeah, I think we would say lo plug. It's still somebody who doesn't keep kosher. You know, somebody who doesn't keep kosher, it's not doing for our reasons, it's doing for his reasons. We could not rely on it. Okay, I want to end off with a lawsuit that was filed in the Supreme Court of the state of New York. It's interesting, in New York, the Supreme Court is the lowest court. That's where you start. It's called the Supreme Court. Everywhere else, the Supreme Court is the top court. Supreme Court is the lower court. So this is a lawsuit that was filed a couple years back against the Trump Soho Hotel, owned by Donald Trump. So Donald Trump, President Donald Trump, had a hotel, and there was a certain Jew that had a meeting scheduled, a business meeting scheduled at the Trump Soho Hotel. Now, there's a lot to go through, and I'm not going to do this lawsuit proper justice because it is so interesting, but it's a lot of pages and a lot of clauses. It's like 50-something clauses in here, so I'm not going to go through all of them because we don't have time, 51 clauses, but I'm going to read through the most important for us. So this certain Jew, Dan Miller, was scheduled to attend a business meeting January 16th. Meeting was starting at 10 a.m. Lunch being served by the hotel at 1:30 p.m. Okay, you're in a meeting. Meetings, you get pretty hungry. And Dan, is Orthodox Jewish faith, this is all, this is the actual lawsuit that I'm reading. This is the filing of the lawsuit in a court in New York. So the lawsuit continues. He's a frum Jew. He ordered kosher through the restaurant. The charge of the restaurant for the kosher food was $146 for a lunch for one person. That's how you become the president of the United States, by charging a lot of money. That, as lunch was being served to all the participants, service of the kosher lunch to Dan Miller was delayed. Dan is sitting there, doesn't have his food. Everyone else got their tray food. He had ordered food. He waits 10, 15 minutes. He reminds the staff of the hotel, I'm waiting for my kosher lunch. They said, told him it's being warmed up. Fine. He reminds them, make sure to leave it double sealed. They were getting it from a fancy restaurant in New York. Make sure not to open up the food. I need to have it double sealed. They said, we do this all the time. We know the law. We know the laws. We know what you need. Not a problem. It continues. Finally, when he served the meal, he served a cold turkey sandwich, $146, cold turkey sandwich that was wrapped with saran wrap. Saran wrap is a kosher seal or not a kosher seal? No. How many seals does he need?
Two
seals. So now he starts asking questions. Where's the food that you said was being warmed up? This is a cold sandwich. What happened to the food that's supposed to have a double seal from the kosher restaurant? This doesn't have any seals on it. And he spoke to numerous staff members, and they all assured him, don't worry, it's kosher. We got it from the kosher restaurant. We do this all the time. So he says to them, well, where's the packaging material that it came in with the double seals? They said, oh, we opened it by mistake. We never make that mistake. This time we made the mistake. He says, bring me the packaging. So they went to look for it and said, oh, it was thrown out by mistake. We're sorry. It got thrown out. So he asked them, where's the food from? They respond, Noah's Ark Restaurant. Anyone familiar? Noah's Ark Restaurant? Yeah? The main one is in Teaneck, New Jersey, right? There's also one in Manhattan, Lower East Side. So they said, we ordered from the Lower East Side Noah's Ark. So that's what they claimed, that it's from Noah's Ark. So he said, but they didn't double wrap it. Noah's Ark should double wrap it. He said, Noah's Ark doesn't always wrap it. When we get it from Abigail's, they double wrap it. Another fancy restaurant in New York. This is the claim of the staff. He's talking with many people at the restaurant, and they're all saying the same party line. In as much as the hotel staff did seem somewhat knowledgeable, they knew what they were talking about. They all knew about the kosher rules and it has to be sealed, etc. And the hotel staff members were all consistently saying that the meal was kosher from Noah's Ark. Mr. Miller ate the food. Everyone was saying it's from Noah's Ark. Don't worry. They were all, 5, 10 of them saying the same thing. But nonetheless, the sandwich seemed different from the sandwiches that Mr. Miller was used to getting at the Noah's Ark in Teaneck. But this wasn't from the Teaneck one. This was from the Lower East Side one. So Mr. Miller decides to take a picture of it. And after lunch, he still felt fairly guilty about having the sandwich, because it wasn't double sealed. He went to speak to the hotel receptionist. He said, don't worry, the receptionist even is in on this, saying it's from Noah's Ark, don't worry. He spoke to numerous people. He calls Noah's Ark and says, did you deliver a kosher turkey sandwich to the Trump Soho? And they said, no, we had no deliveries today to the Trump Soho. Nothing, not turkey or otherwise, nothing delivered. So then Mr. Miller now approaches the hotel staff and tells them about his conversation with Noah's Ark, saying they didn't make any deliveries. So they said, we have the receipt we'll show you from the restaurant. Okay, bring me the receipt. They went to look for the receipt. Sorry, the person who has the receipt locked it away and went home for the day. We'll send it to you tomorrow. Mr. Miller then went home and sent an email to the Noah's Ark restaurant, which confirmed that based on the photo and Mr. Miller's description of the sandwich, that sandwich did not come from Noah's Ark. Confirmation, sends a picture, has a conversation. That is not ours. The next day, Mr. Miller does not receive the receipt that he was promised from the hotel. Mr. Miller calls the hotel. Where's my receipt? Mr. Miller tells them, you know what? Let's stop the game. I confirm with Noah's Ark that they did not deliver anything to you. I sent them the picture. They confirmed that was not their food. The person at the restaurant who works in food and beverages confirmed, sorry, we made a mistake. That was not from Noah's Ark. It was non-kosher food. We panicked because we dropped the ball and forgot to order your $146 sandwich, and we gave you a non-kosher sandwich. Dan Miller was furious. An Orthodox Jew eating treif after a massive charade by the Trump Soho staff, Dan Miller sues the Trump Hotel. This, what was that?
You're such a good voice, you say it so well.
Thank you so much. This was reported everywhere. This is just one example. Man sues Trump Hotel after being served non-kosher sandwich. This is all over the internet. I did a search yesterday to see what happened with the lawsuit. Unfortunately, there is no new news. It looks like they settled quietly out of court. Why bring this up? Guys, we see that these things do happen. I've had this happen to me. Not the charade of the Trump Soho, but deliveries without seals. This happens, unfortunately, all the time. And it's very difficult to not rationalize saying, I should be able to eat it, because when we're expecting that food and waiting for that food, we are really hungry. So it's really easy to rationalize these things, to say it must be okay, it looks like the food, it is the food, but we have to remember that there's a prohibition, there are certain heterim, and we have to make sure that we fit in with one of the proper heterim brought lahalacha. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you.